Yeah, Myles Garrett. Teams said to be fishing around for Myles Garrett. That's according to Albert Breer from his Monday Morning Quarterback this week. And I think it would make all the sense in the world for the Browns to trade him right now. I mean, it's just a complete and utter disaster there. I don't know what you do about the quarterback situation. Jameis Winston starting this week. You have Deshaun Watson. I don't know, out for a calendar year? Is he going to be ready for next season? It's the worst contract, trade, whatever you want to call it, in the history of sports. The worst contract, you could say. Because of what it's cost them, limits. It's cost them other possible players. All the draft picks they gave up. Think there's like, if you want to do a deep dive on this thing, you could spend 3 days on everything that it has cost the Browns. And for what? So that they could watch him play quarterback at a level that was probably behind Jacoby Brissett, behind anybody else they've tried over the last couple of years. He's been their worst quarterback. Joe Flacco, certainly worse than him. And I think not necessarily a fast and easy fix, but a fast and easy way to start to remedy the damage and work your way out of this ditch that you're in because of Deshaun Watson and what you did to get him would be to trade Myles Garrett. Wow. I think that's almost an obvious move. Like, when are they going to be ready to win again?
Obvious move.
Absolutely.
I still think that their roster's pretty good.
For how long?
That's the thing, because Chubb, I know he came back. He's still banged up. Still, I mean, he looked pretty good.
They just traded Amari Cooper. I mean,
they're starting to move pieces.
To me, they're launching at the least a retooling, at the most a rebuild, I think.
I look at it this way. If you're trading Myles Garrett, who's basically their TJ Watt, I mean, what are you signaling? You are basically saying we're done for the next 3-4 years, and this is a total, complete rebuild.
It depends on who you get in the draft. You know, if you get a quarterback, see, if they could get a young stud quarterback, then you just hide Deshaun until you can finally get out of that financial obligation.
So there's your...
And who's to say you don't get a CJ Stroud? I don't think it's necessarily 3 or 4 years. Things happen faster in the NFL. Here's the first question before you launch into that. What do you get for him? 2 first-round picks?
Probably 2 firsts, yeah.
Maybe another one?
Maybe a player with it.
Maybe a third? So, to me, I asked for the moon. I mean, what has been the most compensation received in a recent NFL trade? That would be my question.
The Deshaun Watson trade.
You're right.
Literally, the one that they made a couple years ago.
Yes.
Like, you know the scene out of Draft Day where Sonny's asking, he makes the trade to trade up for the number one pick with Seattle.
Yeah.
And he gives up, like, what, 2 first-round draft picks?
Yeah.
And then they're further on in the draft, and everybody's starting to shake, and Cleveland makes a trade to move back into the draft. And he says to the Seattle general manager, I want all my picks back, after he traded it for the first overall pick. That's exactly what I'm remembering right now.
3 first-round picks. You could recoup all 3. Ask for that. People say no. You say, okay, then we keep Myles Garrett. He's still only 28, by the way. Although he's had some weird injury problems, including both feet issues this year. He should go to the Good Feet store, I might add.
He should.
That's what I'd ask for. I'd ask for 3. Okay, you don't want to give me that? We'll take 2 first-rounders and a third or a second. It's Myles Garrett. Do you know what he would do to the chances of a team like, just pick one?
Detroit.
Detroit.
That's where he would fit best.
The Bills. Do you know what he would do for them? Him or a Max Crosby? Pick another team. The Houston Texans? Teams that are ready to win, and if you add a piece like that, it would be insane.
It'd be great in Green Bay. They're not going to maybe make that trade, but yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens, I don't know if they would do it in division. I don't know if they'd care. Plus, those would be low first-round picks. But just pick a team. Maybe some other team that's in the middle, that would be drafting in the middle, would want to do that, thinking that Myles Garrett could elevate them within the next year or two anyway. What's his contract status?
Maybe the Colts.
Great call. I think there could be something to this. At least I think it makes sense. And what a wonderful way to lead off our Wheel of Ball. I can't think of a better way to lead off the Wheel of Ball. And now I'm turning, well, the ball over to you. It's another turnover for me. I'd love to hear Ron Cook's voice. I think
come on, for the Wheel of Ball.
Oh, I miss him. No, I don't.
Why don't we start with Myles Garrett's contract? 25-26. He has a cap hit of $19 million and $20 million. That's 7% of Cleveland's cap. His dead cap for Cleveland, though, would be substantial, $36 million and $21
million. Oh, my.
That's big if they try to trade him and move off. But there was also a big announcement that just came out of Cleveland, Joe. Ken Dorsey will now be calling plays against the Ravens this week. No more Kevin Stefanski calling the offensive plays for the Cleveland Browns. They've made a change there.
Plan the parade in Cleveland, I say. Ken Dorsey turns everything around. What a joke they truly are. They truly have become the Cleveland Browns again.
Jameis Winston is their starting quarterback.
I mean, this is...
that they had just announced today.
What a sad, sad and sickly franchise they truly are. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Are fans wearing bags to the games yet in Cleveland?
No, not yet, but I'm sure that is foreshadowing of what's to come.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Spin that wheel. I love that sound. It's very satisfying.
It makes me feel good about the day. Joe, Saquon Barkley has been named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. After rushing for 176 yards against the Giants' defense. So if Barkley runs for 176, he's my second favorite back in the entire NFL. Maybe my favorite behind Christian McCaffrey, right next to Christian McCaffrey. Hmm. What should we expect Najee Harris to rush for this week against the Giants?
Well, he's not as good as Saquon Barkley, but he's looking great in these last couple games. I mean, it wasn't long ago that we were asking, is Cordarrelle Patterson a better option than Najee? So I would caution ourselves on that, but I think he and they have a chance to have a pretty big day. You know, the Giants' defense isn't horrible. It's their offense that's horrible. So maybe that does actually feed into that. This could be the type of game where Steelers get a big lead and just shut it down and let Najee run wild. It's a long way of answering your question, and I apologize for that, Limits. I think he could run for 150 yards this week. But here's the other thing. Jaylen Warren finally looked like himself, didn't he? And
yes.
What a development that is. When you have a two-headed monster like that, who compares to it? Not many. That's a top five running back tandem in the NFL.
It's like Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard from a couple years ago.
What a wonderful comparison you've made, Limits.
A tough runner and also a speedy runner, and that's what they have.
By the way, Saquon, he's looking better than he ever has. I wondered with him, you know, it seemed like, you know, a Gale Sayers-like situation where he had this comet burst into the league with 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns. And anytime he touches the ball, he could score. And then the knee injury, and he was still good, but I wondered, would he ever be the same? And he was really good again in 2022. But man, this year, he looks like he's the closest thing. I said this in college, the first time I ever saw him play. That's the closest thing I've seen to Barry Sanders since Barry Sanders. He looks like that again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Limits.
From Sports Betting AG in a tweet from Chris Adamski.
He looks like that again. I shouldn't have done that.
You didn't like my rhyming?
No, go ahead.
The odds are out for Cooper Kupp's next team and continue to shuffle. After Kansas City acquired DeAndre Hopkins, The team that is in first place, the number one odds to acquire Cooper Kupp with 4-5 odds, very high odds to acquire Cooper Kupp is?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
Minus 125, followed by the Chargers at 4-1, Tampa Bay 6-1, the Lions at 7-1.
What about the Niners?
San Francisco 49ers are 33-1.
I was going to say money-wise, but there's no real obligation. If I'm reading this correctly, and God knows I might not be, everything I've seen is there's a $5 million. The only thing guaranteed for next year is $5 million, and there's no guarantee for 2026. And they're willing to pick up the remainder of his money this season. So I don't know. Could the Niners be in that? I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think so. But at the same time, their wide receivers are so banged up. I mean, Debo was in the hospital. Ayuk's out for the year. Jennings was out. They had, Ricky Pearsall's their rookie?
Yeah, and then Tampa Bay is beyond desperate now for a receiver. And they're pretty good.
Pearsall is their healthiest wide receiver. He was involved in that horrific shooting a couple months ago. I mean, so they've had a lot that has gone on with their wide receiving core this past couple of weeks, really this past season. So could they make a move? Yeah, but what are they, like 3-4 right now? Is that the best thing that they could potentially do rather than just get their you-know-what together in-house?
Next.
This is getting a lot of reaction on social media, and this is going to be our social video of the day. Chris Hoak saying there are a lot of teams who would want the Steelers wide receiver corps on the show today, Joe. What do you make of that? Because I don't know about that.
Well, if you start with George Pickens, there are a multitude of teams who would want that. But overall, I would have to disagree. But let's say you offered, let's say you wanted to make a trade. All the Steelers receivers to, I was going to say Buffalo, but they've added Amari Cooper. The Jets? No. The Ravens? I don't know, man. If you get Pickens in the deal, I disagree with Chris there. Let's put it that way. The Chiefs would do that right now because they'd get Pickens. I can tell you that much.
Well, they have Hopkins now and Worthy.
He's not Pickens. I think the Chiefs would do that. Can you imagine Pickens with Patrick Mahomes? There are some teams that would want it, but not many in my humble opinion. How about you?
I don't think that many teams would really want that. Maybe the Chargers right now would trade for
Chargers
that.
Chargers for sure.
Tennessee, yes. Their wide receiving core is ridiculous.
Tampa Bay at the moment sure would.
Other than that, I don't really see too many others. Tampa Bay, yeah, but that's because everybody's hurt.
Maybe Green Bay would.
Like if you're talking
to
straight
up. To go with Jordan Love, maybe.
And Romeo Doubs is playing really well right now. And Christian Watson, I don't think Green Bay would trade their wide receivers for George Pickens and the field.
Thank you, Limits.
You're quite welcome. The best point differential in the AFC after 7 weeks, Buffalo, +63. Chiefs, third, +43. So who's in second? The Pittsburgh Steelers at +60 in point differential. I mean, we're not talking about 2-3 weeks into the season. 7 weeks, we're almost halfway there, and the Steelers are the second best in the AFC in point differential. Their two losses are by a field goal.
It makes a big difference when you're winning comfortably. I mean, that should go without saying here. But the Steelers have made a habit of not doing that for years now. I went into a long diatribe about this yesterday, if you'll remember, City Limits. They reached the point where people like Collinsworth and Tirico are actually complimenting them for lowering themselves into a mud bath with the Cowboys, like it was somehow worthy of praise to be stuck in a maybe lose game with the Cowboys with time winding down. This is right where the Steelers want them. What? Where you want to be is up 20, 10 late in games. That's what good teams do. And the Steelers are starting to look like a good team. And the point differential is a direct reflection of that. Care who they're playing. I don't care who they're playing. When you're +60, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Limits? You okay?
Yes, I was making sure you wanted to get everything in that you wanted to say about it.
Why the moment of silence? Go ahead.
I was giving you the greatest opportunity to react to Beanie Bishop not being named AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Who was?
Cody Barton of Denver.
Barton Fink?
Eight tackles, one pass defense, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery for a touchdown, 52-yard touchdown. If Beanie Bishop on that interception, the second one, takes it to the house, is Beanie Bishop AFC Defensive Player of the Week? And so that's the difference. 1 yard.
What a wonderful point you've made there, and I think he should be anyway. I mean, what you just said, a sack. Okay, wait a second here. Did you mention he had a sack too?
Beanie Bishop? I did not mention.
No, not Beanie
Barton?
Bishop. Yes.
I did not. I just read you off the stats that were on the graphic from the NFL.
Okay. He had a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown. I can't take that away from him. In fact, I'm very proud of him, even though I have no idea who he is. But it took a performance like that to take it away from Beanie, who turned around the game, and I don't know, is it a stretch to say the season? With that amazing interception before the half. I mean, that was kind of a one-handed pick. He made a great, and it was with his left hand, I might add. He's not left-handed, is he? I don't know.
I don't know. But did you ever hear the quote from Beanie Bishop at the end of the Pitt game when they played West Virginia last year talking about Phil Dracovic?
No, what did he say? You know,
I was sitting next to Mike Osti at the press conference, and Beanie Bishop talking about Phil Dracovic basically said, "We knew he was not that good at his job." And that is all I remember about Beanie Bishop when I see him get interceptions now. The play that he made against Phil Dracovic and him saying in the press conference that he knew Phil Dracovic wasn't good at his job.
Is Phil Dracovic in the NFL right now?
No. No, he's not.
I've got a question for you based on that. Would you mind spinning the wheel?
Yes.
You meant no. Because the question was, would you mind spinning the wheel?
No, I'm sorry. I would not mind.
Slice on Broadway was incredible today, wasn't it?
Just so good.
I had the pepperoni. What'd you have?
I had pepperoni. I also had one piece of plain, and I had one of the pepperoni rolls, the little small pepperoni rolls.
Spectacular.
Those are really good.
Dulac saying the Steelers were counting the weeks until Cameron Sutton comes back, and that it's still the case despite Bishop's play. I mean, yeah, it would be good to get the Cam Sutton you had a couple of years ago, and we'll see. But I want to see a whole bunch more of Beanie. Is he going to automatically unseat Beanie is my question to you.
Well, let's not act like Beanie Bishop was a dominant player before this past week. Like, he needed this week to be able to break out and start to cement himself, because there have been previous weeks where he's gotten beat, he hasn't made good enough tackles, and he's gotten lost in zone coverage. So it would not surprise me if Cam Sutton would replace Beanie Bishop right off the jump, just for now, with Bishop still being the long-term answer at slot corner.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The last I saw Cam Sutton, and I know he was out of position and elevated to too high of a role with the Lions, he was getting absolutely smoked repeatedly. I'm curious. I guess I tend to agree with you today, but if Beanie builds on that, the old Beanie builder, if he builds on that, I'd play him. I mean, it's not often you see a guy turn a game like he did, and he almost returned that for a touchdown. Like, yeah, on one hand, it was lucky, but he was also very aware on that play, and the second one I'm talking about, and turned it into basically a touchdown. Next.
Last one I have for you before the big boy. Penn State will play Ohio State in 2 weeks at home on November 2nd, and the game is scheduled for noon on Fox's Big Noon in what is a top five matchup in college football. So my question to you, Joe, is...
No, it sucks. It should be at night.
Yes. Is Big Noon ruining great college football matchups in the Big Ten, because it's always the Big Ten that Fox puts in Big Noon, or maybe the Big 12. They'll put Colorado there if they're on the East Coast. But to me, Big Noon is just like, come on, man. Atmospheres and environments in college football matter.
You can't even tell it's a whiteout at noon.
No.
It doesn't matter at noon.
That's why they don't put the whiteout at the noon sun, game for the Ohio State
Is that
game.
Their whiteout
no,
game?
No, it'll be Washington, who sucks, and they'll probably beat by 40 points. And Ohio State, it can't be because it's a noon game, and the whiteout is always a night game.
Well, now I'm confused, but I don't care.
What are you confused about?
I don't know. Is this happening repeatedly in the Big Ten?
Yes. Yes.
Their biggest games are at noon?
Ohio State, Michigan, the last 3 years has been at noon as well, instead of a night game.
I kind of like that for some reason.
I don't at all.
I don't know. I like waking up and watching Ohio State, Michigan.
I understand.
What's your point here? I don't understand. Why are they doing it at noon?
Well, they're doing it at noon probably to win that window of TV ratings because everybody, you know, watches at night.
Wouldn't Ohio State, Penn State win any window?
Yes. But that's probably why they're trying to put it at noon, I think. Should this be, like, why should Fox be allowed to put all these big games at noon?
I don't know.
You're asking
the wrong guy. Yes, clearly, Penn State-Ohio State should have been Penn State's whiteout game.
And it should be at 7:30 at night.
Yes, or 7 or 8. I could live with either one of those
like
limits.
Pitt-Syracuse Thursday night, 7:30 primetime game. They're obviously going to have a Thursday noon game, but that's the type of game against Syracuse with a good quarterback you want to see at night.
We're going to talk a lot more tomorrow about Pitt possibly going 7-0 for the first time since, what, 82? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a gigantic game for Pat Narduzzi.
Dan Marino was the quarterback. Last time they were 7-0.
Man, every win they get now, they become a bigger and bigger story. Just keep it rolling. What do they have after that? SMU?
Yeah, and SMU's ranked.
I know. With Clemson waiting down the road. Man, I hope that becomes a story. I hope Pitt and Clemson are both where they are right now. I know Clemson, they lost, right? They lost their opener. But they're still a top 10 team in the country. Can you imagine? Oh, limitless wonder. If 4 games from now, let's see, Syracuse, SMU, Virginia, then Clemson as a home game. Time to be determined. For you, for your sake, I hope the game's at night. You'd be very happy about that.
I would probably be able to make it because I'm probably working a game that day.
I personally don't care. I just want it to be Pitt. What is Pitt right now? Number 20?
19.
Thank you, limits.
You're welcome.
What if
numbers matter.
If Pitt wins its next 3, they could be, you know, 12th in the country.
Yeah. 10th.
And Clemson could be 5th. Could be one of the biggest college games ever at Heinz Field.
The Ack.
Yeah, Acrisure Stadium. You think the Ack would be packed for that game?
I would hope so. I would hope they'd get a decent crowd.
I don't think that's unrealistic. I mean, it's probably a bad bet just because they both have to win every game before then. But how about that? Let's go up to number 11. Number 11, Pitt, against number 5, Clemson, at the Ack on November 16th. Please make that happen. Limits. Do whatever you can.
I have zero say or influence.
The big boy is up next. Let's ask him about Cooper Kupp. I have a feeling the big boy's going to shoot this down in very sarcastic fashion. Don't you think?
Easily.
That's what he's going to say. All these reports were a joke. They don't need Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson is better than Justin Jefferson. That's what we're going to hear from the big boy, I think.
He definitely has that machismo.
FatFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th. This Sunday, is it? Wonder Twin?
Yes, it is this Sunday.
At Rockwell Park in the East End, the event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Are you going, and is Muffin going? Like, what do we wait till that morning to see how Muffin feels?
Muffin is a game-time decision. We had to see if she'll be... I think there's a blessing of the pets that I'd like to take Muffin to, so I have to get approval.
A blessing of the pets?
Yes, 9:30 blessing of the pets.
Well, what better time after she gets blessed to go over to the party?
That would be right.
You said she doesn't get along well with other dogs. Is that right?
Well, she doesn't. She just kind of... doesn't really like to tolerate them. Like, she'll stand there as the other dogs, like, just kind of stand around, but Muffin isn't very interested in engaging with the other dogs.
Well,
she won't,
okay.
Like, bark or anything.
She's like me at parties. I just stood by the keg. I didn't need to talk to anybody. I mean, what will determine whether Muffin is going or not?